Just before we start this podcast, I just want to have a message from one of our sponsors. One of our main sponsors is Apeiron Clothing, where you can get premium golf wear at discounted prices. Check out our website at www.apeiron-clothing.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here as always by Kevin and Mark. This is season 3, episode 4. Justin rose to the occasion.
He certainly did, didn't he?
News Justin, yeah. Hot off the press, I guess.
Hot off the press, yeah. With the AT&T Pro-Am, obviously delayed until Monday. It is Monday, we're recording right now, and we've just got news he's won.
Brilliant.
Ryder Cup contender.
Gotta be, hasn't he? He's got to be, hasn't he?
Well, he missed the last one, didn't he? And he was obviously gutted about that.
If he wins again or gets a DP World Tour event, like another two, you got two PJs, and then challenges in a major, like he's got to be straight up there for the captain's pick, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think that.
Unless this is the thing,
the way the world rankings in the golf and world are now, it's likely that if he carries on this form, he's going to make it by merit.
He'll be world number one next week.
How are you anyway, mate?
All good, mate. All good. No golf for me. Any golf for you?
No golf for me the last week, no.
I haven't played. I need to. I had a lesson off David as well, like 2 weeks ago, and I haven't even been to the driving range.
Oh, wait. Did I play Sunday, or have I spoke about that? That was last Sunday, wasn't it?
Last Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, we spoke about that. No, I haven't. No, it's been a bit of a quiet week, to be honest.
Yeah. You get them.
Yeah.
You have been playing a little bit too much. Like, your family, it does come first. Like, you need to sort that out.
You get me in trouble. No, I've been. I had another week on the healthy food to a certain extent. Obviously, Everton back at home, so that was the ultimate test. I went through the whole of January.
You've let go of it one hand, haven't you, there?
Yeah, with the one hand, yeah. I have. In all fairness, though, I did carry on with me running and going to the gym and eating as healthy as possible. But Saturday, you know, Sean Dyche, new manager in, Everton beat top of the league Arsenal. I did have a few beers. Did my first few beers of the year, so 4 Coronas, went down with a few pizza slices.
Dash, baby. That's what they're all singing in the Thomas Frost after the match.
Isn't it mad at the roller coaster of emotions you'd have with Everton? Because I honestly hated them 2 weeks ago. And now I'm like thinking, and now European football's on the cards here.
Some lad who I was sitting next to, we had like 50 quid on Everton to finish top 10 before the match.
Not going into it too much, but you couldn't half see the difference in the level, like the energy on
the formation,
pitch.
The closing down, the organisation.
Didn't stop all game. It's what you need. It's what we've missed, isn't it? Like that, obviously, under Lampard, it was more of a laid-back approach and let the ball do the talking and, you know.
Passing it around the back, mate, just wallop it. That's what they were just wanting. Pickford just getting rid of it, getting it out there. And
they did all right to the occasion.
Early sub as well. Yeah, Lampard was waiting 80-odd minutes, wasn't he? Arteta was changing it up. He made, like, 3 subs, and we only think we made one, didn't we?
Yeah.
And it was like-for-like, but it came at a time. Like, obviously, Calvert-Lewin was running around, wasn't doing much.
Bit of energy, yeah.
Bit fresh legs, bit of energy.
Left a few kicks in there as well, didn't he? Wound them up.
There was murder, wasn't there? A few bits of murder, but it was great to see. Like, even, like, you could tell from, like, 75 minutes on, I felt like the crowd knew they weren't scoring.
Yeah.
Even though them couple of dodgy, like them corners late on weren't, like, would have still a bit like, ugh. But it was.
It's some place though, isn't it? Next to the derby, isn't it? So we've got Liverpool.
Well, especially with them losing
a week
as well.
I know they're not playing too well, are they?
Like, obviously the reason everyone thought Everton was going down because we had 2 easy games, West Ham, Southampton, and then we were like in vulnerable positions like us. And then we had like top of the league coming up. Then we had the derby. Then we've got a tough run, so it's like they were the winnables, and then
we were getting beat in those 6 pointers, weren't we? The teams that were around us, that was the problem.
Handsomely,
yeah. So they weren't just beating us, they were playing us off the park. So it was like last season when we survived, you could argue that there was 3 worse teams than us.
Oh yeah,
but easy. Up until that performance on Saturday, I didn't even think there was one worse team than us.
There wasn't.
We were by far the worst team, and we were bottom of the league. We tied bottom with Southampton, obviously, but
Especially with getting no players in as well. Like, obviously, a new manager is one thing, but then a couple of fresh faces and fresh legs, different approach to the game, but no one come in.
Just
that bleep test doing wonders.
Exactly.
Great, isn't it? But
no, it was. Back onto the golf.
The golf. What's been going on? What's going down?
So as we know, the Netflix show is airing next Wednesday, isn't it? The 15th. So Chad Mum, who is one of the directors, he's the one who's been vocal on Twitter about the, I think he's executive director. I don't know his exact title, but he's the one who's been posting things around the show on Twitter and engaging with people. And he had done an interview with, I'm going to say, the Mirror Sport, I think. And basically was just obviously talking about the Rory McIlroy journey, because remember at the very beginning, Rory wasn't one of the players who'd signed up initially. So he'd obviously confirmed that as the season was going on, he was trying to get Rory involved. And he said, I sat down with him in the summer. We told him we needed his voice. There was no guarantee we could do this again. And if he waits, people won't hear from him until 2024 at the earliest. And now is the time the golf world needs his voice. And all credit to Rory.
I mean,
he was like, yeah, I'm in.
And like, all right, well into Rory for going into it, but like, you still hear from him, don't you? Like, it's not like he's caught, like, you don't hear from him.
Netflix, like, saying, if you don't vocal, come on this, golf is
no
ruined.
One's going to hear from you till 2024. Maybe all he has to do is tweet.
I do get him, though, what he's saying, because, you know, it would, what type of show would that be without Rory on it? When you consider
if you've
where
got
he's
the best player
in
the world in the best form of his life, arguably.
And he's being most vocal about Liv and about, he's having, you know, even going back to last week when we spoke about the beef he had with Patrick Reed, you know, all this amalgamates to Rory being the main man that you want to, like, focus your attention on when the show starts.
Well, I think more like, instead when that Chad's saying, oh, we won't hear from you, there's an undercurrent of, like, please come on our show, mate, we need you in here. Otherwise,
it was a cry for help, wasn't it?
Yeah, but do you know what I've been reading? Like, because I thought it was there, I knew it was out till late Feb for 15th, us, but I'm reading
Wednesday.
a few things, talking about episode 2 and, like, what goes on with Koepka and his life-changing decision that he made, and like Tony Finau going through when he was winning and going on that winning streak.
Oh yeah,
like the emotions that were going on off the field for him, and there's something happened with Joel Damian where I read in an article saying, like, don't get me started, I'll start crying. So seeing the backs, like when these players are performing, you see, oh, Finau done this, Damian missed the cut, like whatever. You're getting to see the actual reasons behind all that, like what's going, like, I don't know, family issues, like obviously Koepka saying he's had a taste, like four majors, he's had a taste of being the greatest,
the world,
really, and then he's fell, and his career's just fell backwards, hasn't it? So,
and what you've got to remember, you know, you'll have your individual team around you and your family, but I suppose every professional's got that to a certain extent, even footballers, they've got, you know, PTs, but golf is a very individual and lonely sport.
You'd always hear about a player, like if there's an MMA fighter or a footballer, like you know straight away when there's an injury. But when there's an injury, like they pull out of a big fight or whatever, they schedule another one. When a footballer, they get injured, they play. I mean, they get paid. You don't know the injuries these are playing through some weeks.
Yeah.
So that's another side of it where, like, you're battling to... There's no let-up, really, is there for them when they're playing that much golf?
And especially with the PGA Tour schedule, I know it's going to change at the end of this year, but it's a full 12-month schedule,
it
isn't
hasn't
it?
Stopped,
even in
exactly,
the fall,
yeah,
it goes right the way through. So there's always tournaments that even the top players, when they're having a sort of a break through the fall season, they hop in and out, don't they?
No,
and play a couple
percent,
of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was the only bit of golf news, reading that article. And obviously, I knew Rory hadn't started, but it was interesting to see how much they were pushing and pushing, and thank God they did.
No, it'd be brilliant. I can't wait. I literally can't wait for it. Yeah. The LIV DP World Tour case, which is starting today.
Yeah.
So you had 16 players, but then Sergio, Brandon Grayson, Charles Schwartzel have withdrew from the case.
Yeah.
So then you've got 13 others. Just a quick run through them, like Poulter, Ortega, Harding, Westwood, Horsfield, Bland, Norris, Laurie Cantor, Ormsby, Reed, Wiesberger, McDowell, Kamer. So it's not a court case. It's a, what's that word?
Sequestration? No.
Arbitration. I couldn't.
What was that about sequestration? What the fuck?
Sequestralot. What have you just said there?
Fuck me.
You know, that was my fault. That for yeah. Put you on the spot.
Oh, fuck me.
Yeah, an arbitrary. What is it?
Succession. Arbitration.
An arbitrational hearing. Whatever.
We'll
it
go
is.
For that.
It's not a court
People
case.
Know what it is.
Basically, it's a couple of old.
It's not a court case, and we're not lawyers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we don't know how to speak either. And say a question is a new one.
Go on.
So basically, it's just a panel of three men which will decide whether the tour is permitted to deny releases and impose sanctions in the form of fines and suspensions should they be ignored. So obviously, the.
Yeah, so this goes back to when the first live event was, they teed off. PJ Tour said, "Use it all banned." European followed suit. Then the European Tour players put an appeal in, and this is the appeal hearing, isn't it? So this is to decide whether that what the DP World Tour done at that point to ban them is going to be upheld or declined.
Yeah,
yeah.
So whatever's going to happen, it's a 4-day court case, and it's not going to be decided for weeks. But really, like, from if you're the DP World Tour,
yeah,
and you've got. Okay, Patrick Reed, maybe not a fan favourite, but without him last week, what is
he
golf?
Brings, he brings eyes to the TV.
He brings
and
eyes,
then the
he
eyes,
brings controversy.
The eyes
brings,
are your sponsors, aren't they? The money.
He was the only one challenging Rory, or Rory runs away with that, like, and not yeah. even playing his best, like we discovered last week. So you've got that, then you've got Ortegi, who's won, you've got Poulter challenging up there, like you've got all these players.
Bland's
like,
playing well.
Bland playing well. Like, if you do it and impose these sanctions and bans on these players, like, from a DP World Tour point of view, it actually takes like stature away from the tour.
Yeah.
On one hand.
Yeah. I think the DP World Tour's in a difficult predicament in a sense that it's okay saying this now because we've just had the Rolex Series high pace events. So that's going to attract the players anyway.
Yeah.
But as the season rolls on and we get to the start of the LIV and the start of the elevated events on the PJ Tour, which the 20 mil ones start this week in Phoenix. But it's, well, it's the opportunity,
like,
to go and play as and when they
it's
want.
It's not now, is it? It's more Wentworth. It's more the bigger events where, or like the Porsche European, you know, where some of the big boys do
yeah.
like pick and choose
but this
when
is
to
why,
play.
This is why it's a difficult predicament because, you know, you've got players on the PJ Tour who pick and choose to come and play those events, and then you'd then in a scenario where you'd have the LIV players that can come and pick and choose and play those events. So if you get just 48 players on LIV, for example, say 20 of them decide to come and play the Rolex event only, and then, you know, 20-25 come from the PJ Tour and play the Rolex events. The difficulty is, yeah, you're going to have an unbelievable tournament, all eyes on the page, but it's going to take up 45 spots of players who've played on that tour throughout the season, and it could, because of how many points are available in those events at the Rolex, it could be the difference between somebody getting the card, keeping the card, getting in the top 10 of their order of merit at the end of the season to get a PGA Tour card now, because we know that's the way it's situated, or getting those extra points to get them at the tour finals at the end of the season. So this is where it's very difficult, and it's hard to balance when players are picking and choosing. For every top player that comes in, and you want to see these top players playing a DP World Tour, somebody is missing out because the fields are only so big.
Yeah, well, I do get it, the point that you're saying, but as an argument towards that, obviously not just because the LIV players and just because they can, they're a name in golf that they can just turn up and play, but if they've actually got rights and they can play
it.
And
yeah,
they can
yeah.
earn it,
I get
then they can take the spot when they want. Yeah. I believe that it's a credit to the DP World Tour to have these players coming over and playing, because the PJ Tour's banned them, and then seeing them turn up and bringing a bit more oomph to the fields. It's,
yeah.
In my opinion, I think if the DP World Tour rule against them, it won't be in their favour.
Not when you consider what happened, but yeah, you're right. We spoke how exciting it's going to be. You've got the PGA Tour playing their events, the LIV players playing their events, DP World Tour doing their own thing, and everybody meeting in the majors. It's going to be a spectacle. It's going to be fantastic to watch. It is just a difficult one because you look at the Asian Tour this week. They've allowed players to go over and play, and, you know, unfortunately, there was no coverage for us to sit down and watch it. But by all extensive purposes, it was a great, great spectacle, and all the top players you'd expect to see challenging were up there, weren't they?
All extensive purposes.
Is that what I said?
You just said something mad there in the middle of that.
All
it was sick, whatever you just said. You're not on a roll today.
Segregation there.
But But I know what you mean. Like, it's one of them. If you've got the rights and you're at the world rankings and you've got an exemption or you've got something, and just because you went and played Liv, I don't think it's in anyone's favour to start banning players.
No. If there is going to be a free-for-all as such in a organised fashion where anybody can go and play on any tour, that's what we want to see.
Of course.
But yeah. I think they've really got to think hard about the qualification criteria. And there's got to be so many events that you've played in leading up to it. So you might have exemptions, but you can't just pick and choose and play where you want.
But then the other players like Morikawa, like your Zalatoris, like they can just pick and choose.
Yeah, but they come over and play co-sanctioned events, don't they? That's why.
Yeah.
In the new, like they come and play the Scottish, it's a co-sanctioned event now. So it's a PJ event. Yeah. And then likewise.
Yeah, but then at the same, that's just the same argument though, whereas...
But
they're
not
coming over.
They allow the others to go over.
No, it's the same argument of where it's knocking someone else out.
But it's not because they go over to the PGA Tour the same week and play like the Barbasol or the Barracuda, don't they? So there's an alternative. But there's an alternative. And then
no, I get it. I get it.
If they, like Marcus Hillier had done it last year, so was it Nikolai or Rasmus? One of them done it last year.
Yeah.
Went over and played a couple of those co-sanctioned events where they go and play on the actual PGA Tour in America. And you know what? Have a good week there, win that tournament, and you've got your PGA Tour card for the next
like
2 or 3 years. Yeah, exactly like that, yeah.
No, I suppose,
you're right.
Well, I was trying to go against your argument, but you perfectly got a great point there. But my point's still valid, though, isn't it?
Very valid, yeah.
Let them have a...
Honestly, I want to see the best players playing week in, week out, but it's also good to have a competitive tour where you've got the best players going over there, the other best players going over there, and everybody meeting in the majors. And that's essentially what before Liv, what you wanted to see on the DP World Tour. You'd have the strongest player on the DP World Tour, you'd have the strongest player on the PGA Tour, they'd meet in the majors, and then they'd have a Ryder Cup to settle the differences.
Yeah.
The DP World Tour is in a very difficult position because, yeah, the Rolex event last week was in the Dubai Desert Classic was unbelievable. Because you had the drama, you had the Liv, the PGA argument, you had the Reed issues, you had Rory going on to get up and down to win the tournament. It was unbelievable. And if you can get that every week, why would you not want that every week?
But no, of course, yeah, exactly.
It's just it.
Well, Patrick Reed, that probably none of that happens.
No, but it's from start to finish, wasn't it? We spoke about it on last week's pod.
You've got two sides of it, obviously. But it's like you talked about the world rankings there, like this week, the Raz Al Khaimi got 17 points and the Saudi had 24 and then you got 34 on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
It's massive, isn't it? It's half.
Well, yeah. You win. Daniel Gavin's got half the points Justin Rose got.
Exactly. Only another bit of golf news was Homer Horschel and, I don't know if we mentioned last week, but Fitzpatrick as well, all committed to the TGL. So when that gets that, like Rahm, Tiger Woods.
Yeah, they're getting a good little group together
now,
aren't they?
Boys there. A couple Justin of personalities Thomas. There. Yeah. Homer's good, isn't he? Horschel's outspoken.
Well, that's what's going to be so good about this Netflix.
Fitzpatrick's there.
But that's what's so good about this Netflix show. You know, you're going to get a real feel for the personalities of these people, and then you're going to see them off the golf course as
that's
well.
That's why I was watching that break point, and you just get to see like how they speak and like what they're thinking before they go and play.
Yeah.
And like tennis is a one-on-one sort of thing. So it's like a boxing match. It's like a build up to a boxing match. There should be like, if you like watch tennis, like you watch like the, I only watch it as a casual, the final of a Grand Slam. But
yeah, same.
There's other tournaments where like it's big. It's like PGA Tour events to us. Like it's massive and
definitely.
Seeing them how they feel.
ATP
ATP and all that. How they're going into it. How they're feeling and just getting a look into people's lives. It's what people just love, don't they? Everyone's just nosy bastards, really, aren't they?
At the end of the day, they're just humans with a talent, aren't they? They're still normal people who, you know, off the court will do normal people things. They're just
apart
on
from Tiger.
Yeah, apart from Tiger, yeah.
He's not normal, then.
Definitely not, no. Should we get into it then, that time again?
That time again.
It's that time again, y'all. The birdie boogie bust, the birdie boogie bust, birdie boogie bust.
There's only one birdie, really, isn't there?
Gotta
what
be,
is there?
I'm back in Daniel Gavin's putt.
That is
the whole thing for me. I can understand some of it was not the best.
No,
but
just the putt for me.
Just the putt. Well, let's break down that 18th hole then.
Go on then.
So he's standing on the tee with a 2-shot lead. Okay, He's got
a shot on it.
Two shots at the time.
Oh yeah,
because Bjork only bogeyed while he was on the hole. So as he's on the tee, he's got a 2-shot lead, and Daniel Gavin's has got a 5-minute wait on the tee. That doesn't help to start.
Never.
Then the last thing you want to be doing is just sending that straight into that lake. One question I did have about where he sent that: is there an argument where he could have dropped that down, or was it no way? I'm just going off the shot trace. It looked as if it hit the land and then faded into the water. He'll obviously know, but I'm just thinking some people might have taken advantage of that and dropped further up. But he obviously took 3 off the tee.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's just not thought about it. Sometimes you just don't think, do you? Just go and reload.
Well, this is it. But he called a provisional ball because he wasn't sure whether it went in the water. So if you're not sure it went in the water, there's got to be a party that thinks that's hit land, or it could have hit land. So I'm thinking, is there a potential to drop it further up? And you're playing your third from 200, 250 down. Then instead of playing your third off the tee with the chance of it going the same place.
Well, if there's, you've got to think if there's any sort of chance of that, there's a discussion between caddy or
maybe
to say something like
emotions. I don't think
I think that's the last option, isn't it? What he actually went hitting it off the tee again.
Yeah, but it just seems to all happen so quick. But obviously, then he's, you know, he's hit 3 off the tee. He's had to take that second ball, so he's playing his fourth. And at the time, Bjork's made a bogey. He's finished the hole and made a bogey. So he's playing his fourth shot with a 3-shot lead. So he needs a 7 to win, as we know, because that's what he shot. So, you know, he gets another 4 shots from where he is from there. And he takes a wood and goes for it aggressively. And I'm thinking, if he knows what the score is, does he go for that?
No.
He just plays it down the left-hand side.
And there's a Rory chip last on week, doesn't
two
he?
Putts.
Yeah.
So
there's just no leave. Like, he's thinking, he's got to be six, hasn't he?
Well, he's got to be thinking there, if Bjork's made a birdie, then I've got to get
a bogey.
I've got to make a bogey for a playoff or, you know, par to win, and I'm playing me fourth. So I've got to hit this on the green and 2-putt just to get into a playoff here. So that's where he's gone for it. So obviously plops that one into the drink.
It's like when you actually run through it like this. Like, if his caddy was sitting there, you'd think he'd be biting his nails right now. Like, oh my God, yeah, I should have jumped in at that point. Yeah, I should have jumped in at that point. Like, I'm sorry.
Well, this way, it's me beard. It was just a roller coaster, wasn't it? And then obviously he puts that 3-wood in the water and you're thinking, oh, what are you doing here?
Gassing it.
Obviously he gets to the green and, you know, he didn't even walk up to the green. So I don't even know if he's seen a leaderboard at that point. And then his chip's not the best.
Awful.
Gives himself
close to a 30-footer, wasn't it?
Yeah, 28 feet it was. And then the birdie for me, and obviously for you, as you've just mentioned, is rolling that putt in after all that. It's just phenomenal, wasn't it?
Like, do you know, more to my part of the birdie was when he actually hits the putt and it goes in, it's like he's rolled it in for birdie to win. Like, it is. Like, it wasn't like
double bogey.
It was like,
I'm
the man.
Yeah, it's
not really. Like, he just made a hash of that. Like, what are you on about?
Hard work of that, yeah. But, you know, Bjork making the bogey as well. You know, I can't remember what he'd done on the hole, to be honest, but it was, you know, everything just seems to fall into place. But, yeah, 28-foot putt. Imagine you made an 8 on that hole and the guy in front of you's just made a bogey to go into a playoff. Like,
yeah, your head's gone in it.
4 like over got on the hole between you to go back down 8 to the same hole again.
I know, yeah. That would have been nice to see them actually do it, wouldn't it? See what they actually done. It wedge off the tee or something.
Yeah. Was that your birdie, is it?
Well, yeah, my birdie was just, like, obviously, hole on any putt to win, like Rory did last week. It's stones in it.
Yeah.
No matter what's preceded it. But leading on to me bogey for the week is just the hash of it.
Yeah.
And more, like, we've just run through, what is the caddy saying? Like, where is he? Like, what's like that decision to hit 3-wood is mental.
Yeah,
even if you think you need to make bogey to win,
but you're playing your fourth shot, aren't you? So you're a long way back. So you're playing your fourth. You've only got 3 shots from there.
Yeah, but that's standard, isn't it?
Well, not really, no. Because if you play up short, you've got to get up and down to go into a playoff.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So if you can make bogey the standard way into the like wedge you close, like they're good that good with the wedges, all of them that. Putting him in.
Seen what he's done with his chip.
No, no, but like, but I mean, within 100 yards, you'd like to back yourself.
Yeah, you would.
What's the out to 100 there? Like getting up and down from 100 yards, no, Daniel Gavin's, really.
Do you know what, though? What does his caddy actually do? Because there's no leaderboards on that fairway. Yeah. Do you know, how do you know who's scoring what? You're blind to
go on the phone.
I wouldn't say so.
No, because in the Open, you get live scoring, don't you? Like the Open qualifying that I played in that year.
It's a bit different than a fucking
no, but it's the same, isn't it? It's an RNA, like it's rules officials and all that. And you can look and refresh it and see people putting the scores in. Like, that's an interesting fact check, that.
It is, yeah. I'll ask Connor.
Could get laughed out of the park. Like,
I'll message Connor.
Yeah, message see Connor. What he says. That's what I want to know, the answer to that.
Yeah, I will do. We'll come back to you on that next week.
But yeah, just the hash of it, like, as you say, like, one, does he know? Two, even if I didn't know, after him just putting in the water, I'd still be saying, let's just forget that. Don't go chasing. You're chasing, you're lost there.
Yeah.
Get wedged up. Wedge on the green. Make a bogey. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, a bogey would have been enough to win by two when he got up there, wouldn't he? Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's the, in hindsight, it
it's
is.
It's hindsight.
I don't know. I'm just thinking, he's thinking, I can reach. If I knock this on the green, I've got a comfortable two putts to win.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's his thought process, isn't it? Stay aggressive. Get it on the green. You know, Bjork might have made a birdie. I might need to get up and down from here for a playoff.
Yeah.
I mean, might need to get up and down here to win.
No, yeah. I understand like the thought process behind it all, but it's still for me, and actually hindsight's a beautiful thing and all that, but for me, I think it's wedge out, wedge up and try and make a...
Yeah, make it the shit bag way.
Mm.
Not like you.
What am I? We're just fucking lumping at the green. What's your bogey?
So my bogey is just going on the point you mentioned there. Obviously this week and last week, $2 million prize pool. And it's just when we look at golf globally at the moment and how much money's being pumped in around, I just think the DP World Tour potentially needs to do more just to try and get them prize pooled and then purses up to about 4 or 5 million as a minimum. You know, yeah. Because I just think $2 million prize pool. I mean, it's okay if you win and finish in top 20. Say you're walking away with 15, 20 grand for a week. It's nice wages, isn't it, for a week's wage? But you're playing at the top level of European golf.
It's the pinnacle
of European golf. Yeah,
top tier golf, really.
I just think when we look at, you know, next week, the Aramco Ladies Series, and I know this is a new thing, but that's a 5 million purse. Pearson Coody's just won on the Corn Ferry Tour last week. He got 180k for winning on the Corn Ferry Tour.
Is that his name? Coody, is it?
Pearson Coody. Cody.
Cody, yeah.
It's got two O's, like.
Yeah.
I think. That's Coody. How I've wrote it. But, you know, and even looking at the Corn Ferry Tour and comparing it, you're getting treble the amount of PGA Tour cards.
Yeah.
Gavin's won 311k, so it's obviously paying more for a win. But second place got 158k. So second place in a DP World Tour received less than first place on the Corn Ferry Tour. That's how close the purses are, really.
Even the world ranking points are close as well. You're getting 11 world ranking points for winning the Corn Ferry.
Yeah.
And you're getting 17 for winning the DP World.
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, if your goal is to get on the PGA Tour, you know, if they're going to be paying this amount of money and your world ranking points to get in the majors, everyone wants to play in majors. Everything is towards the PGA Tour, isn't it? Getting more points, getting more money, etc.
Like, you've got like the American Express or the Waste Management. That's obviously backed by a massive corporation that are clearly pumping some sort of money into it, aren't they, as well? Yeah. As like, so that's obviously an avenue that needs exploring.
Well,
really,
when you look at the Abu Dhabi, that was a Rolex event, but it was the Hero Abu Dhabi, wasn't it?
Exactly.
No, Hero Dubai, was it?
The Dubai.
Yeah, one of them was Hero, wasn't it? One of the I can't remember which one it was, but so yeah, you're right. It was just an observation of, you know, if you're winning and you're walking away with 311k, you're obviously happy.
No, of course.
But you know, if you're playing well and you're finishing 30th, you know, and then you know you've got to travel to Singapore. And I know a lot of them at the top level, they have got certain, you know, sponsors who'll support them and alleviate some of that money. And they've got some...
The word alleviate just woke City up there.
But it will, though. It alleviates the money side of things for the players when they're doing the travel and the sponsors.
No,
that they
100%,
get.
But
ultimately, you know, if you're having to travel from... And it's great because it makes the tour more global. I know I had a bit of a gripe about it when... And that was more of a selfish point of view because I wanted more tournaments to stay local to us so we can go to them. But seeing the golf in Singapore, Thailand and going around and, you know, we'll come on to the Singapore Classic a bit later, but the opportunity for the young amateurs to play in there. And
but then also as well, like you say, the you can go to a Corn Ferry. So if you miss the cut, like you drive from, I don't know, wherever to the next event, then if you miss the cut or make the cut, you can't really like book your flight till like you know where you're at. And then if you're a bit lower and you're earning 12 grand, then you've got to get like a later flight, and there's no, you have to pay a bit more, and you, it's and then there's like no hotels or like there's loads of little things that bump.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's over a season, even if it's a couple hundred quid each event. Oh, and your flight and your accommodation.
It's Thailand next week, isn't it?
It adds up over the course. Well, exactly. So you've got to fly from Singapore to Thailand. There's not miles you could.
No, but what I'm but what you're saying though is if you're somebody who's on the cusp and you don't know if you're getting into Thailand and you miss the cut in Singapore, you know what? Do you pay an extra couple of nights hotel to find out and wait to see if the tournament finishes at your own expense to see if you get to Thailand, or do you fly back home with the thought that you might have to fly back to Thailand?
It's all a bit of a, like, as you say, the money aspect of thing, but then the mental aspect of it, not knowing. Like, remember we were speaking to Lee last year and he was like, you find out at the week of whether you've got a thing. So if Lee's in Southport waiting and then all of a sudden you've got to get to Thailand within 2 days, are you going to play your best golf?
And it's the other point that we made, isn't it? Like this season, the people who've qualified through Corn Ferry Tour and the majority of rookies, they're getting 500k up front to help with those expenses.
Don't they? Like, that's your travel and accommodation and your mortgage sort of, for the like, and your bills.
So
everything
is incentivized to get onto the PGA Tour. The best players in the world are there. You know, the biggest purses are there. The chance to get more world ranking points is there. Everything is triggered towards getting that.
That's how they want it. That's how the PGA Tour have set it up.
Yeah.
Even like,
but then you run the risk of your majors then just being another elevated PGA Tour event.
But they are, aren't they, basically?
But this is what is exciting about the live aspect, playing and talking in them, and you know, the DP World Tour can elevate itself. There's more money going into Asian Tour now through live, and there's a chance for global golf to be back on the global scene again, and having people from all around the world turn up to majors and than being spectacles.
That 500 grand head start, if the DP World Tour done something along the lines of that, it'd be in, they should really do that throughout both tours just to really see like what the next sort of fringe of golfers coming through.
They have introduced something, haven't they? The DP World Tour, I can't remember off the top of my head what it is, but they have introduced some sort of guaranteed fund. It's not to the level of 500k, but there is some form of, if you've got a tour card, you do get some sort of,
but I mean it should be like across the board the same, so then you know, like if there's a player who's just graduating Corn Ferry or just graduating Challenge, you've got that guaranteed the same amount of money at your
disposal. It should be more on the DP World Tour because of the travel.
Yeah,
you know, if you're thinking if the PGA Tour is saying 500k to get you started and traveling, to take that pressure off from a traveling perspective, that's guaranteed money. So even if you don't earn it, we'll cover the costs anyway. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, the DP World Tour should be doing that as a minimum then.
Yeah.
Because you've got to fly from the Middle East to Singapore to Thailand and then back over to another part of the world and then back over to the UK for a bit of a UK swing and then
travel.
Even
when you're in
Europe,
like South Africa at the start, and you've got to get over to the Middle East, it's like it's further than going from Bale to the Masters, isn't it? Like, it's around the corner. Like, it's mental.
And the majority of the time, they have, like, a Florida swing, don't they? Where they'll
stay
in Florida,
they have the West Coast swing, the Florida swing. Yeah.
But that was me bogey was just, you know...
No, it's just... it's right, isn't it?
What the PGA Tour are doing, and obviously the money that's going into golf at the moment, is the right thing to do. Like, more money is being given to the players to perform at a certain level. More money is given to the players who are just making it onto the tour to alleviate that pressure and to give them the opportunity to shine and to break through quicker than they may have done if they had the added pressures of playing for money instead of playing for performance. The DP World Tour now just needs to catch up, is my bogey.
No,
in some way, shape or form, there's enough talent out there.
It's one of them, though. It's like you're saying it's got to catch up, but it's actually going to get it's going to get further behind at the end of the season.
When 10 players go over.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 10 PGA Tour card,
So it's probably going to be like a 10-year sort of process to get it, like, get the things changed, get the structure changed, get it back to like being a dominating force in golf, really. And it's not like it's, by all means, if it's 10 this year, it could be 20 next year. You just don't know.
Mm-hmm. But interesting.
What's your bust?
Got to be one, hasn't
there? That Millennium Falcon turtle thing that they've built at St. Andrews.
The patio at the home of golf.
What's that about?
I just don't know. I don't know what's happened there.
This is why things need to go to public votes. This.
Well, they've released a statement, haven't they, about it?
Saying sorry.
Just saying that it's based on the damage of the grass around that. And over the past years, they have tried putting artificial grass there and it just hasn't worked. And it just keeps getting damaged. So if you look at the way, they've put a picture up as well to show the damage where it's just all mud and patchy. And then obviously they've shown with the UFO around it,
yeah,
the UFO patio. Yeah. So, and that obviously covers it. So basically it's a clearer path up to the bridge. But you can't do it to something like that. You've just got to keep maintaining it. You've just got to deal with the fact that that's going to get mud through the winter. And if people want to get the pictures, then, you know, your picture's on the bridge anyway. But you can't sacrifice that bridge in any way, shape, or form.
Why don't they just put, like, something over it for the winter, like a tread or a like bit of wood or something, like, nice, and then take it away and then let the grass grow through for the spring, summer?
Do you mean something temporary?
Yeah, just because it's... Basically, you can walk your dog on it, now, can't you? Then, like, if it's just a municipal thing in Scotland.
Well, they play football on the fairways and everything, don't they? And go for a walk, yeah. Well, Sundays, it's a public place, isn't it? So you can just go and do what you want on there. It's open to the public.
Yeah.
The course is closed.
Having picnics on that now, aren't they? That little circle.
That's it, yeah. The barbecue will be on there soon.
What are the odds on it getting, like, ripped up?
There has been the uproar.
No, like, on a Sunday, like, you can do what you want.
Oh, yeah, just right now, not having that.
Yeah.
No, I just think they've just got to maintain it and just deal with the fact that, you know what, people would accept the fact that if you're going to play there in the winter, it is going to be muddy because the grass doesn't grow. No, you don't want to close the bridge, do you? Because it's part and parcel of the experience.
No, no.
If you go and play there in winter and you're on the old course, you want to cross that bridge. You don't want it to be closed.
No, of course you don't want it to be, but, like, I mean, you don't want Augusta to have, no one would be able to play it, but it's just a fact of life, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose. No, but I think, yeah, you can't have that there. That's got to go.
Yeah.
It's got to go. It doesn't even look good.
No.
From the distance, it looks like a dumbbell.
I know. It's disgraceful.
It's just, yeah.
The Millennium Falcon was the best, though. Someone just put the Millennium Falcon round it, and it just looks like a big Star Wars ship. Man. It's unreal. Good, yeah.
I've seen someone put a jacuzzi in the middle.
Did it look
like there was just a jacuzzi in the middle of it, yeah.
Oh, mate, it's something
like a patio that you go to a gym, isn't it? Like an outdoor...
Yeah, it's terrible.
Outdoor jacuzzi, yeah. Anyway.
Absolutely terrible.
Justifiable bust by both of us.
Yeah.
Let's crack on then. Ras Al Khaimah, golf. We obviously talked about Daniel Gavin's claiming a second win in style and how he'd done it.
Style?
Well, it was in the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, with that putt, yeah.
Well, stylish. Stylish double bogey, but go on. What do you think of the events as a whole?
It's always a bit of a downhill event, but it's always after the big Rolex and they stay in the Middle East and they go to here. It's a relatively new event. So obviously only Nicolai Højgaard has won it on the
first
inaugural.
Year. Yeah, yeah.
So it's hard, isn't it? But the course looked fantastic.
Yeah.
For all it, and it's obviously provided some serious drama there going into the, which is exactly what you want, really.
Yeah, 1,000,000%. Yeah. Good to see Hillykittle back on, back into some sort of form, isn't it? Obviously, back in 2021 when he won the Challenge Tour, had 3 wins that year, but last season took some time off, didn't he? But
yeah.
266s this week, which are his lowest rounds in his first 3 tournaments. He's finished tied 34th, tied 51st, and then tied 13th this week. So trending in the right direction, isn't he? Making 3 cuts in the first 3 tournaments.
That's it. Just that Saturday let him down with the shooting 75, which isn't ideal. But
yeah.
You say for that, though, even though he's finishing tied 13th there, he's only getting 26,500 for that.
It goes back to the point of the bogey, yeah.
It's like, it's mental, isn't it?
Yeah. And just another guest there, Matty Baldwin. Good to see him. You know,
he got to a bit of a flyer, didn't he?
Yeah, it goes tied for the lead at one point, yeah. Obviously, a bit of a quiet weekend, but, you know, he's got off to a good start. That's his first event of 2023 on the DP World Tour. He did play out in the South African event.
Oh, yeah, the ones
prior, yeah. Yeah, but good to see him playing, obviously carrying on form from last year's Challenge Tour when he got his card, didn't he?
Yeah, it shows that, like, a few of the players that, like, played the hero, like, you've got, obviously, like, Maronk there, and, like, he's just sort of carried on his form and moving in, like, you expect, obviously, unless he goes back over and plays a bit of PGA, but it's like you'd like to see a couple of wins out of him this season, I reckon.
Well, yeah, that's, yeah, he's he's built a foundation now, hasn't he? Obviously, what he done last season, he won the Irish Open. Did he win? Was the Irish he won?
Not too sure. I'd have to fact check
that one. But yeah, he did. He won an event middle of the year in the summer last year. I remember it, and had an amazing season. And he seems to be heading in the right direction. You've got to consider him for the Ryder Cup, haven't you? Really?
He won the ISPS Handa Australian Open.
Yeah, that was the other week, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was this season. Let me just get this fact check live here for you.
Fact check live and exclusive.
Yeah, the Irish Open, yeah.
Yeah, thought so.
Well done.
Well, thank you, mate. Yeah, and then Padraig Harrington as well, last Ryder Cup captain. He's 10th in the race to buy at the moment. Surely
he's
not.
He's off to a bit of a flight. Well, surely not what?
Surely not Ryder Cup. Him and Justin Rose.
Yeah.
Rolling it back.
Rose is done in any one. Like, that's a... Although, like, Harrington's there, like, now he's getting a bit of form. Rose winning, it's such a different thing, in it? Like, forms.
Forms temporary, class permanent, yeah. I know, yeah. But you could argue Justin Rose's form's been off, and he's obviously found a bit of form.
No, 1,000,000%. You can, like,
I mean, when you compare...
I think Padraig would probably fancy himself against Rose in a match. If they said, like, you win it out of this, gets to play the Ryder Cup, let's go.
Yeah,
like he'd fancy his chances, Harrington, wouldn't he? If he's playing well.
Yeah, and he's obviously open about his fitness and what he's been working on, his speed, and that always keeps himself fit. And
yeah,
you know, age ain't nothing but a number, is it? You look at Blandy and the progress he's made. So I suppose you can't. It would be interesting. I don't know if that'd be a first with a captain that
and then play the next Rides one
Cup and then play the next one.
You've got to be on it.
Could be.
Well, we reviewed them all, like, so did that ever happen?
Well, there was playing captains, wasn't there?
Yeah.
When it first started.
Yeah, but that's different, isn't it?
I think since...
Like, if you're getting given the captaincy, it's like you're finished. And then to revive your career and go and qualify for it, it's unheard of, isn't it? But yeah, that is a good point, though, talking about the speed, because he has been vocal about the speed training.
Yeah.
And, like, he's actually coming out saying things like, I don't worry about technique, just trying it as hard as you can and things like that. It's like what Bryson was sort of saying, but Bryson's chilled out with that a bit, hasn't he?
Bryson went too over the top of the experiments, didn't he? He was more at like long drive competitions and getting into like the uncontrollable speed, wasn't he?
But then since he's like sort of like slimmed down and stopped, it's like he hasn't really done much, has he? I know he's had his injury, but
he shot +7 for 2 rounds there in the Saudi International and missed the cup by a mile.
There you go.
Yeah.
Point proven.
Yeah. But no, like you say, Fitzpatrick was exactly the same. Worked on speed and fitness, goes and wins the US Open. I'm not saying it's all attributed to that.
Well, Tiger done it first, didn't he? He was the first one to start going to the gym and training and getting bigger, and he was stronger. And then Fitzpatrick obviously slagged Bryson off, but then he went and done it. Rory went from like a bit of a pudding to a tank.
Yeah.
Like it's
definitely an athletic.
There's a balance. Yeah. It's a balance, isn't it? It's having the muscles and the strength, but then keeping the flexibility and not getting injured.
That's what's so quality about the game of golf, you know, even the finesse around the greens, you know what I mean? You don't need no strength to have soft hands, do you?
No, you do not.
What happened there? Too many S's.
around
I got an S on my chest. Talking about S's, Saudi International, let's get at it. What do you think?
It's like a mad one, isn't it? It's PGA release. Like Liv talked about, like Young was all over that sort of vibe, wasn't he? Going against another Liv player with a PGA Tour like player in and about. It had another like when the DP World Tour played host to like the Scottish Open. We had all three different walks of life all there. It's like the same sort of thing playing out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, I think I was just disappointed we wasn't able to watch any of it, because I remember last year we were excited that's to watch that, Tommy Finn, Ovana, Ricey, and obviously Bubba had that low round and was watching them come in. It was a really good tournament to watch, wasn't it? And obviously couldn't get to watch it. And, you know, like you mentioned there, Cameron Young, he was playing on the PGA Tour release. Lucas Herbert was playing on the PGA Tour release. They finished second and third, respectively. Couldn't catch Abe Anser. And then even at the end of the tournament, you had all the Liv guys who, you know, from Abe's neck of the woods all gathering round. And
yeah,
you know, the South Americans are all celebrating together, weren't they?
That's it. But do you know what like made me the happiest?
Go on.
Andy Ogletree finished in the top 10.
Yeah, it was nice to
which
see.
Is a, that should have been me birdie. That was like so worried about him, haven't we? And
it was a worrying time. Yeah, he finished dead last, didn't he? Was it the first ever live event, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was that Centurion?
I think he finished last in like the first two, didn't he? Or did he not play the next one? And then he just disappeared.
Yeah, and then he just literally, he obviously banned from the PGA Tour because he played live. Well, obviously got kicked out of live or whatever happened for that. And he was just stuck with nowhere to go, really. But now it's great to see him.
He's got a win on the Asian Tour as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he won
an
international series event, yeah.
Top 10 there, but when you talk about the 5 million person, you talk about it being top heavy, you know, obviously like 300 grand to 150 grand, it's still like half, isn't it? But then when it starts falling, it starts getting like not really worth, not worth your while, but it's very like, you're putting a lot of effort in for minimal money.
Yeah.
Respectfully.
Yeah.
But then the live money, the Saudi money there, that falls pretty dramatically as well. Like obviously Abe Anser getting a million, but then Cameron Young getting 525, Herbert 300, and then it goes 235, 200, 140, and then Andy Ogletree's picking up 100 grand. So it like, and then the 71st after the cut, you're getting 12.5 grand. It's a serious top heavy tumble.
It is, yeah. But golf's always been like that, hasn't it? Golf's always been top heavy in every tour. And I think that's what's so good about the Clutch Tour this season. I know we're talking a few tiers down now. But the Clutch Tour have made a point of, you know, a lot of money's being pumped into that progressional tour, but it's not so top heavy. You know, you can finish top 20, 25, and you can still be in profit for the week.
It's like,
which has always been the concern in them tours, you know, unless you're finishing top 5, top 10, you're not making any money.
Well, like we've always talked about, like in football, like you have players who, I know obviously in the National League, who earn a living off football. And that's four or five tiers down.
Yes.
Whereas you're on the third tier of golf there, really. And, well, like fourth tier if you can't get into the PGA Tour. And you basically can't earn your living without getting sponsored.
Well, the concept's always been, you know, you need to get off the tour.
Of course,
don't earn money. But I think not everybody's going to get off the tour. So you need to give people the enjoyment of at least trying to have a go for 2 or 3 years. The problem has always been
you need to bounce tours. One year,
because you don't know how long your sponsorship's going to last for. Do you know what I mean? And I think to play a full season on Clutch this year with the entrance fee is going to cost about 9 or 10 grand. So
that's just
tier one.
Is that just the entrance fees, or is that
just the entrance fees? And you've got to be a member, haven't you?
Oh yeah.
So you pay your membership to join, and then you pay your fees, which you think are about £500 a tournament. So I'm not exactly sure, but it costs with the tournaments, but then you've obviously got there's 100 grand purse events, isn't there?
Yeah.
As well. So, you know, that 9-10 grand, you know, how sustainable is that over 3 or 4 years if you're not earning? Do you know what I mean? So it's like if you're finishing 25th on the Clutch Tour payments, you are probably going to end up in profit.
Yeah,
for the whole season, and it's an okay season to have, isn't it? You might be your first go and you finish 25th, 30th, 35th, and then you know the following season you finished 15th, and then all of a sudden you start getting Challenge Tour starts on your third or fourth season, and you start doing well on the Challenge Tour, and then you get on the DP World Tour 6 or 7 years in. You know, if you're at a loss by finishing 25th, 30th, playing on other tours, then you know, how long are you going to be able to sustain that?
It's one of them as well. Like, you want to really, like, go out, have an okay week, not have you, like have a couple of mistakes. Like, say you finish 20th, like, you want to still be able to, like feed your kids, take your girl for a little date. Like, you want to be able to live.
Yeah.
Like, you should, like, it shouldn't be, like, win or bust on them sort of tours, which is, like, what it's sort of been in the past. Because when you put your travel, your accommodation, your food in for the week, like, people are coming out at a negative and they're finishing top 10.
Yeah.
On the Euro Pro last year, like, or from all accounts, it's what, maybe not top 10, but like top 20, you're probably still operating at a loss, aren't you? Whereas you want to be able to still, as you just said, progressively work your way up, learn how to play professional golf, learn how to travel, learn how to do all these things, like doing an apprenticeship. Whereas obviously you don't get the best money doing apprenticeships, but like, you're 16 and you're living at home sort of thing, like, and you're learning, you're earning your trade, whereas you're a professional at this point. you're at your earning your trade and you're learning how to be a professional in the sport, and you should be able to really, like you said, hang around and have a quality of life while still working your way up the ladder.
Yeah, and one of the reasons I wanted to mention Clutch Tour this season, you know, got the two tiers, haven't we? A couple of lads that we've welcomed to the Appear on Athlete team. Signed, sealed, delivered, yeah.
I'm yours.
Daniel Croft and Hayden Stannerstreet Tyre, two lads that we've had on the podcast in the past, good friends of ours. And, you know, everyone knows about the Appear on Clothing. We've spoken about that in the past. So we'll be supporting the lads through the Appear on Athlete.
If they don't know, do you want to go and check it out at www.appearonclothing.com and have a look at some of our stuff?
Yeah, definitely. Get over there. So, think you'll like it.
Well, that's it. Just supporting the players with clothing at the minute. But moving forward, we hope to put the profits back into these athletes and give them a little bit of a kickstart of the season, the way the
definitely,
even if it's a little bit, just get you something. It's better than nothing.
Well, that's it. Yeah, you know, any way that we can help people who've helped us on the podcast journey, we certainly will. But that's not the only reason we're supporting them, because we believe in the talent as well. You know, two unbelievable players,
1,000,000%.
You know, plays with Hayden a few times when he's gone really, really low. Dan's played in the Open, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So we've got a couple of more announcements coming up this week as well, and we'll be keeping people updated on the page. If you want to follow it, it's the Instagram at @appearonathlete, and you'll be able to follow the progress of the golfers throughout the season. We'll be posting results from each of the tournaments. So good luck to the lads.
It's a good little way for people as well to see. Obviously, they go on Instagram. Like, you don't know how the PGA North are getting on, how the thing goes, unless you follow a few people. So following that, like, you'll be able to see, like, these sort of events that people are playing in, where there is that other level of caliber of golfer coming through that are shooting some great scores and putting up some great wins. And it's just keeping an eye on all aspects of golf, really, isn't it?
We'll just look at the, and we'll come on to it now, the AT&T Pebble Beach. This week, there's a lad from the PGA Scotland who got an invite to AT&T this week and made the cut.
I seen that, yeah. The big
Scottish lad, yeah.
Something Heddy or something. Or I seen a big picture of him getting posted about, because he played well.
Yeah, so he made the egg.
How did he get in? Just for, was that for sponsors
invite?
Yeah.
So that's another example of taking full advantage of an opportunity
You've
that comes your way.
You?
Yeah, definitely.
Old fans job.
Definitely, yeah. But we mentioned there, title of the podcast, Justin rose to the occasion, didn't he?
Yeah. 18 under, three-shot win.
Yeah.
It's...
Weather was a bit like last week, wasn't it, with the Dubai Classic? The weather gave us a Monday finish again.
On the green, could they? On one of them holes that was near on the Monterey Peninsula on the corner, they would see, every time they put it down, it was just rolling into the...
Yeah, well,
off its marker and all that. It was just howling off the coast.
Yeah, well, I seen Jordan Spieth as 111 to the 7th, and he hits a 7-iron. He was saying to Mike, his caddy, I think I'm going to have to, even if I hit this full, I don't think it's going to go long because of how strong the wind was.
Yeah.
And he absolutely rips a little punchy one. Lands pin eye. Unbelievable.
Well, it's like Harry Hall was saying. He was like, usually you... whatever you're doing, but he said he hit driving, it went like 177 yards,
yeah,
into the wind,
yeah,
like 40 mile an hour blowing into your face. It's not exactly fun, is it?
No, definitely not. And not for the amateurs as well. You got a lot of amateurs who play in the pro, haven't you? Celebrities, obviously. Gareth Bale turned up this year, didn't he? And
there's a lot of talk about Gareth Bale. A few interviews, seen an interview with him there, and he was talking about he's got like three golf holes in his back garden, and he's like, he obviously he's caked, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's got his golf holes in his back garden, he's got a big massive love for golf, and there's big odds on him, like, becoming a PGA Tour player and that. Like, it's all, like, betting on him and that.
What you find, those athletes who, you know, they're used to putting the graft in to get to that level, aren't they?
Yeah.
You don't just arrive at the level that Gareth Bale's got to in football. You have to put the hard work in and sort of master your craft, don't you? So you can imagine something like golf. We all know how frustrating it is and how many times that you think you're making progress and then you know, you take your foot off the gas and all of a sudden you're back to square one. So I think for him, it's just another challenge, isn't it? Just to keep his mind flowing, you know, can I get down to scratch? Can I get to pro? I think he'll probably do it, mate.
Million, yeah. Like I was going to say 1,000,000%, but it's not 1,000,000%. I'd say there's every chance.
Well, he's got every resource he needs to
it's
get
like
there.
It's like the Jake Paul
he?
Thing that we always talk about. Like, he's got time and money, so he's just putting his life into boxing.
Yeah, and he has perfected his craft. When you compare his first fight to where he is now, levels above any,
isn't it? But it wasn't all like obviously Justin Rose set up with a 65, which was halted by the weather delay on the Saturday. But even in the final round, going out there, obviously Brendan Todd shot 7 under, Denny McCarthy shot 8, Brandon Wu shot 6. So he's had to go out there and keep hold of that lead by shooting 6 under,
to
win it. It's not like he's cruised it.
And watching it last night, obviously, I didn't see the conclusion of it because we were doing the pod just as it finished. But even watching it last night, you know, it was so important to get off to an early start. That second hole, the amount of people who were making eagles on that and then going on, like even that Denny McCarthy, he was 6 under through his first 7 holes. You know, is were all birdies. You know, Todd, you mentioned there, he started, I think, birdie, eagle, bogey, birdie. So it's like the... it's gettable holes that, and then first 7 holes, and you can take advantage of those, you know, because Denny McCarthy was tied for the lead after 7-8 holes from right back. So, and then obviously he has, I don't know what he's done today and how he's finished the tournament, but obviously not good enough to win. But
he tied fourth, he shot 8 under today, 64.
Yeah,
tied fourth.
So, what did Rose shoot today then?
6 under.
Ah, yeah, okay,
yeah, 66.
Enough to get the
another
job.
Another 6 under, 66 to win. That's what Max Homer done, but Max Homer for his 6th win.
Yeah. So what's that win number for Rose now?
Not the surest on that.
No.
But what I do know is Keith Mitchell, he done what Max Homer done last week where he played mic'd up.
Yeah, I watched that last night, yeah.
So as he's going down the third and he literally turns around and he's like, well, Max killed it. He's like, I'm just hoping what happened last week happens this week, laughed.
Yeah,
and he was joking with all the commentators as he was playing the thing. But it's nice that like Mitchell's done that, finished top 5. Like Homer's done that, he's won. It's turned the tide on. Like
it was
being an interruption.
Yeah, it was great as well. He's obviously hit his first one down the middle, great drive, and then his second shot, he's standing over it, and as you see, he steps away from it, and the commentators jump straight on it. What happened there? What happened there? And he's like, you know, we picked a number based on obviously taking the wind into account and the climate. And he said, and then as I'm stepped over the ball, the wind switched. It's gone straight downwind and over this green is out of bounds and it's completely dead. It's where you don't want to go. It's the last place to miss. He said, and the caddy, good on him. You know, got to give him props on this one. He pulled me off and we switched it up and went down a club. So, and obviously you see it come up a little bit short of the flag, but it was better than going long, taking the conservative approach. So, you know, when they were talking about
Daniel Gavin sliding into his DMs.
They were talking about, you know, this week, have you had to take the climber? And he was saying, yeah, you know, we've been having the Trackman on the range. And he said at one point it was like there was 11 yards, 12 yards of difference.
Well,
just based on climate and conditions. So, you know, when you consider, you probably don't think about that, do you? When you're looking at, but the caddy on the day has got to be taking all these numbers in and to get the players dialed in, because obviously the players have got to take responsibility as well. But the majority of the responsibility is on the caddy, isn't it? To make sure those numbers are right.
It all depends on what the relationship, how they do it. Some players do all the numbers. Caddies do all the numbers. And if you are one of them caddies who's got the responsibility of getting all the numbers, like you've got to take everything into consideration. And like I'd say, if that switches like that, if it's switching that much in like direction, the wind switching direction is it's quite rare, isn't it, really, over the shot?
Yeah, but he just said, you know, he was ready to go. And the caddy just pulled him off and just said, let's have a think about that. So,
especially being mic'd up or whatever, and the pressure, you could lose sight of your job sometimes, can't you?
Well, that's it, thing,
so
yeah,
but no, it's good.
Hopefully more to come. Yeah, it'd be interesting if they can try and get someone on the 16th.
Oh, well, they're gonna have to, aren't they?
This week, they're gonna have to, aren't they?
They've
got to get in someone's ear for 16.
Oh,
they?
Yeah, everyone's should be compulsory on the tee to take the mic.
Yeah, I can't wait for this week.
The Green Bay Pack, I know you're into your NFL. The Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, got us the Hall of Champions. He was a bit of banter between, I don't know, Josh Allen. Who is he like a rat?
Buffalo Bills, yeah. So Aaron Rodgers has come to the end of his career now. So he was going toe to toe with Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Obviously, everyone knows Tom Brady. I don't know how many Super Bowls Aaron Rodgers won. Don't really know the history. I think he's definitely won one. But yeah, he's been Green Bay Packers all his career. And he used to always go head to head with Tom Brady, who was the New Orleans, New England Patriots, yeah.
Right. So, well, Josh Allen just said, he said to Rodgers, there's going to be an asterisk next to that because it never went to the four rounds. But like Rodgers just said, listen, our name's going to be up there for a long time. Steve's there throwing little asterisks in. Love all that.
Brilliant.
But apart from that, like, great tournament. Obviously, we didn't see the conclusion of it, but...
No, it is, you know, it's a bit of a weird time, isn't it? Because the PGA Tour is just getting ready to really kick into gear now, isn't it? You know, we've got the waste management, which we'll come on to after we talk about the Singapore Classic. But, you know, you've got the 20 million pace and then the elevated events. Then it goes on to the Florida Swing where you've got the Players and then you've got the Masters. And then we're really into the season then, aren't we?
It's like we're into it, but already like loads of events into it as well, because it's went through straight after last season, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
So you got like John Rahm's got like four victories this season, but really we're only just getting to the first event of the season. It's like,
well, this
what?
Is what's so good, you know, and the drama that's unfolding, and we've got the Netflix series to look forward to as well.
As we were saying last year, golf was in it. Golf just keeps going from strength to strength, doesn't it?
Yeah, what a time to be involved, eh?
It is unbelievable.
Singapore Classic, then. DP World Tour, we've briefly mentioned it, haven't we? First time it's returning to Singapore since 2014. What do you make of this week's event?
Well, it's at the Laguna National Golf Resort and got a golf club. Don't know much about it, but from the pictures, it looks stunning.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Like, it looks fantastic. Like and it's a monster, 7,420 yards. That's that is a bit of a beast.
Well, I was looking at it. It's got a Ledbetter Golf Academy, so it's got professionals from the academy on hand to help and give lessons in the, you know, for the fans.
Oh, yeah.
In the big fan centre. It's got a Singapore Classic 9-hole putting course, which is located right next to the big village in there. And they've even got like a giant Jenga and a monster ping pong for activities for kids to get involved in, face painting. So it's going to attract families to
come. I was going to say, well, they've probably looked at like, okay, golf in the Middle East, they have a load of events and there's money there, but really the crowds, they don't get out there, do they? Like, there's a few knocking about, but there's not like, you compare it
the
to
the Rolex ones, you get big ones, but know what you're saying. Like
there's not a massive following, is there?
Yeah, Ras Al Khaimah, yeah,
all of them. Like, so probably just as you say, like, if you can, like, your men who are going to go and watch it and your women who will love golf, but then like taking the families is like the board, aren't they?
Yeah,
like getting all them fan into, and like lived on it, where they've got all the interactive zones, they've got like longest putt, they've got
bands
longest
playing.
Drive, they've got a concert or like entertainment, like a little tented village sort of thing like they have at the Open. It's putting them things on for the normal European tour events, is it just attracts, it lets you stay out longer, than it really,
no,
as a golf fanatic.
Yeah, like they've even got like an Oakley closest to the pitch shootout contest over water to a Peninsula Green.
Well, that's what you want. You want all little things like that. You want like interactive things for the fans to be going to. You need like that sort of, that little bit extra, don't you, to stand out. Like, people are going to the waste management to get drunk, aren't they? Like, that's what's bringing them down later.
Yeah,
so,
especially Super Bowl weekend
in like Southeast Asia and stuff, like obviously the drinking culture is not as big as like America, is it? So bringing all the interactive things in for the fans, it's what's needed at these lesser events where there's not a big as star-studded field.
Yeah, we'll talk about the field. Who is in the field this week, then?
There's a few heavy hitters, like Ewan Ferguson's, Richie Mansell's, and that are all there. Paul Waring, they're like our close to homers, who we like to have a look at.
Yeah.
There's Ortegi, which is, I'd say, probably going in one of the favourites with Ryan Fox and Robert McIntyre.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Like, apart from that, I can't see who I'd like to put my money on, really.
Yeah, well, former world number one amateur, Tiger Semikawa, he'll make his DP World Tour debut this week. He played in the, remember I said Tiger last time, and you were like, Tiger, world number one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He made the PGA Tour start at the Sony, but this is his first DP World Tour event. So keep an eye on him. He's a pro now. See how he gets on. He made headlines last year, didn't he, by becoming the first amateur to win the Japan Open, and he also became the first amateur golfer to win more than once in the same season on the Japan Golf Tour. So there's certainly a lot of talent there.
Of course,
it'd be interesting to
see. Living up to the name.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And then young stars, TK, as nickname, Ryachuan Chatterjee, think I've pronounced that wrong, definitely. And Ding Wenyi, they're ranked 15th and 16th, respectively, in the amateur rankings. So they're going to lead the amateur field this week.
Yeah.
At the event. So who's your money on this week, then?
Like I said, then, can't really look past Fox, McIntyre, or Ortega. If I had to pick one, I'd say Ryan Fox probably deserves a win. Who's yours?
Do you know who I'm going to back this week for this event?
Go on.
I'm going to go for Marcus Hillikill.
Yeah?
I just think he's trending in the right direction. Tied 13, 266 is okay. He had a 75, but you know, he knows how to get the win and on the challenge tour, but not on the DP World Tour. But I think
this is one of them weeks, this, right, where we don't really put our faith in Richie Mantle, and all of a sudden he'll be knocking on the door come Sunday again.
Let's hope so.
Like last year.
Let's hope so. Yeah, we've got a few podcast guests, haven't we? We've got you and Rich, Baldwin, Hillikill, all in the field this week, teeing it up. So even
half the field nearly that.
If one of them wins, I'll be happy. But
a million percent.
I think based on trend and the game and his style compared to this course, obviously with the length he's got off the tee, I would say Hillikill. That's who I'm going to back, yeah.
I'll go Fox. Okay, you go Hillikill, I'll go Fox.
So like we said, we've 2 million prize pool. We've spoke about that throughout the pod. The DP World Tour first visited Singapore in 1993, and it was Sir Nick Faldo and Ian Woosnam who won the first editions of the Johnny Walker Classic, as it was called back then.
Right.
That was in 93 and 96. And then the 2016 edition of the Singapore Masters, it was called, which was held at the same venue. That was the scene of the most memorable moments in the country's golfing history when the home favourite, Mardon Mamat, lifted the trophy, finishing one shot ahead of Nick Doherty. So it'll be interesting if Nick mentions that on the coverage this week.
I don't reckon he'll shut up about it, to be honest.
So, yeah, so looking forward to watching it. I don't know the time difference, Kev. What are we?
They're a few hours ahead, aren't they? I'd say 3 or 4.
Yeah.
If I had to guess, I'm not fully onto it, but it's around there.
Hopefully it's not. Hopefully the time and difference isn't too bad. I'll take back everything I said about it being a global tour, and I'll get all back in England again.
That's the selfish aspect, isn't it? Wanting it to be round our neck of the woods all the time when we can go and pop down to it. But it is what it is. We will see what comes of it.
Right then.
But there's a spectacle on, isn't there, over the pond there?
Arguably the best tournament of the season.
I mean,
for what it is,
for atmosphere and drama and just mentalness, it's the best, isn't
outside
it?
Like, of the majors, it's got to be up there, hasn't it? It's one of the best, yeah, what it's turned
like,
into now.
Oh, it's a, if you want to get there at that onto that 16th, like you've got to go now.
Yeah, TPC Scottsdale Stadium course. What are we saying?
Par 71, 7,261 yards.
Yeah. You know, last year, obviously, this was the start for Scotty Scheffler's dominance to world number one, wasn't it? This sort of kick-started. He had a pretty much miles off the pace going into the third round. Then he had that 62 and then ends up defeating Cantley in a 3-0 playoff, as we've seen. So given that, and obviously what this tournament does to propel you into the season, is there anybody that you're looking at now on the PGA Tour? Obviously, we could even talk about Taylor Montgomery, whoever, but who you think has got the potential to sitting, you know, top 20 at the moment, top 25, who could potentially at the end of this season be considered as world number one? Is there anyone there for you?
Not world number one, no. Not with the way John Rahm and Rory McIlroy are playing. I think they're going to joust it out for the season, to be honest.
Yeah.
That Montgomery, he's playing this week on a sponsor's invite.
Yeah.
It's surprising that, isn't it, considering how, like,
how well he's
you
played.
Think he wouldn't be in the actual automatic qualifying, wouldn't you? From the...
Yeah, it's difficult because
it's the elevated, it's the first of the elevated events.
Yeah,
events,
they all
it?
Turn up. 22 of the top 25 in the world are in the field this week.
Yeah.
Although obviously we call it the world ranking event, it should just be PGA Tour rankings.
Yeah, exactly,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The way it's gone now, all 11 winners from this year are teeing up as well. So, you know, the winner walks away with $3.6 million this week. So if you've got the opportunity to play in it, you're going to play in it, aren't you?
It's massive, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Okay, on the flip side, then obviously you don't think anyone's going to challenge the guys who are at the top and are set now out the pack. So obviously last season, it was the real arrival of Sahith Theegala, wasn't it? Remember, he got really unlucky on 17 where he hit that tee shot and it bounced into the water. He ends up losing by one shot going into the playoff. So, you know, and he went from strength to strength, although he's sort of plateaued now, hasn't he? But is there anybody in the field do you think would be a surprise this weekend that's going to just shoot out the blocks and we could see a new rising star?
Not so much rising star, but someone who was obviously playing quite well last year and he hasn't played here for a while is Shane Lowry.
Yeah.
He hasn't played here for a couple of years. So he's missed the last 2 years. So him coming back in and like going like European winners on the PGA Tour, I'd like to think that Lowry would be the man to do that. Obviously, providing Rory McIlroy just chills out a bit. What about you?
Well, for both of those questions, who do I think is going to potentially start off here and then rise to the top, and who's somebody who's going to announce their arrival this week? Tom Kim.
Oh my God, why did I even not know that was coming?
It's time for Tom. It is time for Tom. I think this is the one. He's going to turn up this week. You know what's going
to
be?
Do you think he's going to rise to world number one?
I think he's got the game to be world number one, yeah.
No, he's got the game, but is that like, most of them have got the game.
Bit of a statement this early in the season.
I want you to put it out here on record. Like, this is going as a segment.
Bit of a statement. Potential. Do you know what? I just think his charisma, everything about the kids is just what golf stands for, you know. And I think this is the perfect scene for him. He's just going to soak up 16.
Yeah.
He is. He's going to take it all in, the crowd. He doesn't seem like he buckles under pressure. He's already won on the PGA Tour. I don't know. I just think the kid's got everything. And I think
listen, there's no one going to sit there like with some of the statements that we make. Like, no one could really sit there and say, that's a load of shite what you've just said, because he has got it all. But like, there's a difference. Like, it's the X factor in it. It's that next little push. But look, Scottie Scheffler was probably in Tom Kim's position really last year, and then he went on bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, that's the point I was getting at. Yeah. You know, Scottie Scheffler hadn't won at all on the PGA Tour before this week. So you're looking at Scottie Scheffler and you're saying, you know, would you have thought he was going to rise to world number one, win a green jacket?
Well,
and
he won four times in six starts. He won a major, a WGC. He won the Arnold Palmer at this.
Yeah.
Like, the rise was phenomenal, wasn't it? Like, and literally, if you could put your money on Tom Kim doing something like that, you'd say, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's, yeah.
Without saying it.
No, it's a statement, but it's justifiable, like.
Yeah, it is. But look, we've been speaking over the past couple of weeks about the new Bogey Boys Fantasy Golf League. We're almost there with it now. So we're hoping to do it
this week, weren't we?
Well, yeah. So what we're going to do is we are going to trial it this week. So if anybody is interested in listening to our next segment, the segment is going to be exclusive to Patreons only. What we'll do is we will go through a full statistical approach of everybody in the field, go through all the stats and how we anticipate that the tournament's going to unfold based on how it unfolded last season, current statistics this season, and then we're going to have a real statistical approach to our four picks. So although the Fantasy Golf League's not live for everybody just yet, if you wanted to sign up to our Patreon, you could get a feel for how the game is going to start, and we're hoping to get it started for the Florida Swing, for the Arnold Palmer Invitation at the beginning of March, start it right the way through, and there'll be additional prizes for majors, as we mentioned last week, and it's a point scoring system where the lowest highest point scorer, each month will win a cash prize, and then we'll have an overall cash prize as well, and we're just in talks with potential sponsors for the golf league as well, where we'll be given additional prizes to winners for major championships too.
Exactly what Mark just said there. So we look forward to really bringing this. We hope the statistical approach to the picking really marries up with like how people can win moving forward, like in the on the PGA Tour, because suiting the way people are playing, or the driving accuracy, or the putts per green, like suiting that to a certain course and actually being narrowing down people who are going to make the cut or finish top 20 will really like elevate the back the bookies element of the fantasy golf league system. Whereas if they can all marry up nicely, then there's an opportunity for everyone to earn some serious moolah.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll be driving the stats. You can access the full table of statistics through the Patreon website. You can play the game through the Patreon website. It'll be 3 to 4 game weeks every month. The fee is just the £4 a month, so it's £1 for every game week. The more that play, the bigger the prize pool is, you know. And like I say, for £4 a month, you're supporting us, you're getting access to the statistics, you're getting to play the game. We'll have the additional segments, which is not going out to the free podcast that we put out every week. And also any spare money that we've got is going to help enhance the game, so we can, you know, make it a bit better, where we can put private leagues in there so you can play against your friends individually, all things like that, to make
coding,
it a bit more interesting.
Coding ain't cheap.
Coding ain't
cheap in this world.
Anything technical in this world is not cheap anymore. So anything that you're doing is obviously supporting our growth. We're not going anywhere. So whether you join it or you don't, just continue to enjoy the podcast. But it would be nice, because, you know, it's a real engagement platform, Patreon, if you've not been on it before. So we can reach out and post, and people can message in, and we can create a nice community on there, and, you know, make it quite competitive as well.
That's it.
Yeah. So who've you got this week then on the waste manager? Do you think's going to take it?
It's a coin flip, isn't it, between the
unstatistical approach.
The unstatistical approach for me, you can't look past the big two, really, can you?
The two R's.
Like, it's
Rory and Rahm.
You can't really split them either, can you? Like, Rahm winning 4 times, as we said, Rory second.
Yeah.
4-4-4 first. It's like, what?
No, I know.
I'd have to say Rory, mate, because it's his first start since October on the PGA Tour. I'd say Rory, mate.
Yeah.
Who would you?
I'm going to have to back Tom Kim, aren't I? I've built him up, haven't I?
You can't not.
So, yeah, I just think, you know, he's already won on the PGA Tour, so I'm not going to say he's eventually going to win, but, you know, he's going to win a big event soon. And I think he's going to be, you know, I think he belongs at the top of the golf game just because of the way he is, his charisma, and how much of a good guy he is, you know. His golf game matches his personality, and that's what you need to see at the top level in golf, don't you?
1,000,000%.
To go along with all the, you know, the other characters that we got and personalities that we've got at the top of the game right now.
It's just moving down the field. Like, that's when the real points can be scored. Like, them picking a nice pot 4 to make the cut or a pot 3. You know, like, looking at that's where the stats come in, where there's, like, someone who can grind it out, someone who can putt well, but, like, a little bit off the pace at the minute. That's where it's not, like, picking your winners, great, but more lost there.
Pot 1, you're likely getting a top 10, aren't you? Though, you know, they're gonna be in and around because they're a pot 1 for a reason. But like you say, your pot 4s, the pot 4, because the likelihood is they've missed a few cuts coming in the outside the top 80 in the world rankings, or wherever they are, outside the top 100 in the world rankings. So, you know, they're not expected to make cuts, so you do get additional points if they do make the cut. So that's where, like you say, the statistical approach to making those selections is where we can help, and you'll get all that data through the Patreon site. So if you want to sign up for that, just search Bogey Boys Fantasy Golf League on Patreon. It's all set up, and you can sign up and start having a look at that site. As of now, the game will go live in about 3 weeks' time, but we'll keep you updated on this podcast with progress on that.
Yeah, I said, moving away, as I was speaking about the big two there, if you were actually to take them out the game and pick I'd say he'd be pot 1. Like, I'd have to go for Tommy.
Yeah. He has had a good start to the season, hasn't he? What about Max Homer?
Yeah, Max Homer. Flying.
You know, his form's fantastic at the moment, isn't it? So if you look at it from a statistical perspective, we'll have a look at his game closer when we do the segment on the Patreon. But, you know, you've got to look at Max Homer there, haven't you? And think, like,
he's had some serious rise, hasn't he, into golf's elite, really, top 13. Like,
Well, those six wins over them, was it six wins over the last 3 years, is it? I don't think many people have matched that.
No.
So
definitely not.
He's only missing a major, isn't he?
Yeah, or like a WGC, or just that one that just takes you into the that elevate, top 10.
Yeah. That elevated event where all the big boys are there and Max takes a homer.
Takes a homer.
But look, we hope you've enjoyed the podcast. As I say, thanks for listening, as you always are. We hope you're enjoying it. We've got big plans. We've got a very, very, very special guest coming on tomorrow. We're excited to announce that. Just make sure he logs in first before we start throwing names about.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll look out on the Instagram and the social media pages for who that is. And like we say, if you want to go on Patreon and support us. You're not just supporting us because you want to. Now you're supporting us and you're getting, obviously,
there's a chance to win some
things
money,
in return. Yeah, so you'd only have to win one monthly week and then you're in profit for the whole season.
Exactly.
So on that note, enjoy your golf and we'll see you all soon.
Ciao.
Thank you.